Item number five is a closing for Fernbank Avenue, southwest corner of Main Street, under file DAC 16 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item six is a subdivision and rezoning for Fernbank Avenue, southwest corner of Main Street, under file DASZ 30 of 2011. And item number seven is a variance at Fernbank Avenue, southwest corner of Main Street, under file DAB 148910 of 2011D.
I'd like to call the applicant, Sandy Hopkins. Are you speaking as well, sir? Did you fill out the... Mr. Hopkins, if you could state your name and address for the record.
Sandy Hopkins, 60 Archibald Street, Winnipeg.
Thank you. You have 10 minutes, sir, to make your presentation.
Thank you. I'm the CEO of Habitat for Humanity in Winnipeg, and I'm going to open with a bit of an overview of Habitat, and then my colleague Michael Shaughnessy will present the technical details of the proposal, and then I'll come back for a couple of minutes and talk about our consultation process with the community and a couple of the other important issues. Habitat has been around in Winnipeg for 24 years. We'll be celebrating our 25th anniversary next year. And our mission is simple, as stated there on the screen. We work with people in the community to build houses for low-income working families who purchase those houses from us at full market value. We've been building in many different parts of the city. And frankly, we're happy to build anywhere that there is land available for us to do so. The parts that are green are the places where we have built homes already. We have, to this juncture, completed 229 homes, including 23 this year. And we're hoping and planning next year to be able to build 25 or 26 in the city and several outside the city as well. The number of homes that we build each year depends on the amount of money that we raise in the community. And our model is very simple. I'll just give you a very quick overview of it. We have three sources of cash. We have something called the Restore. It's a retail outlet. And the proceeds of profits from that store cover our overhead costs. So my salary, the light bill, and so on are covered from profits from the Restore. Our second source of cash is a host of different things that we do to raise money in the community. And our business plan purpose there is to raise enough money to cover the out-of-pocket expenses to get the houses built each year. What's not included in that is the cost of the land. And we borrow the money for that land from our bank. And once the houses are built, we sell them to our families, as I mentioned a moment ago, at full market value. What makes the houses affordable is that there's no down payment, there's zero interest on the mortgage, never any interest on it, and payments are geared to family income rather than property value. So we take 25% of family income. First thing we do with those payments is cover the city and education tax bill, realty tax bill, and the rest is a payment against the outstanding principal on the mortgage. So we use the money from the mortgages to pay back the land debt. Typically, it takes us about 10 years to do so, and that means that we would have approximately another 25 years of payments from that property, which would help to build other houses. Our model is such that we're not only one of the few organizations that has figured out a way to pay for itself without having to dip into fundraising, but also because we are building capital projects that have an income stream from them, we're actually able to demonstrate that each dollar that we invest in home building each year generates an additional $3 over a 50-year period. So it's a highly sustainable model that allows us to help many families who are hardworking and very good citizens but just don't have the wherewithal to be able to afford a down payment on a home. Our family selection process is a very important one. It's a key part of what we do. The minimum requirements is that at least one adult in the family is working full-time and has done so for at least 2 years. Family income has to be at or below something called low income cutoff, which is a Stats Canada number. Current housing has to be inadequate, and they need to be willing to partner with us, which means they have to complete sweat equity. That is just really just the start of the process. We go through a very detailed, in-depth investigation of the family, their finances, who they are, how long they've worked at various places. We talk to the landlords, we talk to their employers, and so we vet very carefully the families that come into partnership with us to be sure that they're who they say they are. And our track record of selecting families is outstanding. We've only had one foreclosure in the last decade, we'd stand that record up against any of the other financial institutions that are building homes. So I'm going to cede the podium for the moment to Mike O'Shaughnessy, and then I'll come back and talk about the consultation process we went through for this.
Thank you, Sandy. Councillors, planners, clerks. I'd just like to outline.
Excuse me, your name and address for the record.
I'm sorry. Mike O'Shaughnessy, 108 212 Watson Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. The Habitat proposal before you is to build 10 duplexes, i.e., 20 units, on Fernbank, facing Fernbank Avenue in the River Bend area. The lot sizes would be 40 feet by 106 on average. The land is currently owned by Qualico Developments, by Silpit Industries, and by the City of Winnipeg. Arrangements have been made to consolidate it for Habitat and to build the homes. They will build a lane, a back lane, behind the entire property with a turnaround at the end toward Main, rather than have a back lane come out onto Main Street. Each home, each side by side, each side will have two parking stalls, so four per unit, two per individual unit. A sidewalk will be built, there currently isn't one on Fernbank, which is a major collector for the area. The developer will build a sidewalk the full length of it in front of their property, linking it to Main Street. All construction standards will be of the highest value. Many LEED Gold features will be in these homes. These will be homes as well built as any builder in the city, and without trying to be too nasty about it, better than most. So they will be on par with any other homes in the Winnipeg area. The side-by-sides at the, it's a full block from Main Street to Riverstone. The homes along the whole block of Riverstone are side-by-sides as well. This is nothing new. Further down Fernbank, they are small single-family dwellings, in some cases with less square footage than is in each of these units. Would you rather that I bring up a few points that have to do with the ACG report now, or after we've heard all sides in the summation? I'd be pleased to do it either way.
Bring them forward now.
Okay. The item five, which is the closure, we have no comment on. We concur totally as the report shows. And same with item seven. On item six, which is the subdivision and rezoning, I would request the planner's report be adopted as is, with the exception under item 1, final line after the date of June 29, 2011, the words be added as amended, because I will be recommending changes in the ACG report, and they're asking adoption with this clause, so I would ask it be changed to as amended. The ACG report is on page number 21 in your agenda, which I printed off the city's website. And the planning considerations, A and then B, 1, A and B, 2, 3, 4, we agree with entirely. Clause 5 is a formula for the applicant to pay for previously installed and to be installed improvements at or near the intersection of Main and Fernbank, and there's a formula attached under Clause 5. That formula, if followed, would make the applicant liable for costs of approximately $3,850. What we would like is to amend the clause to add at the end to a said total not to exceed $4,000, which leaves room for GST and any minor adjustments. I say it comes to $3,850, but it says nothing. It just says a formula. We don't know what's included in the formula, but the amount of $100,000 is there, which is a pretty round number. And we would just, Habitat can't go ahead with a pig and a poke. They have expenses. They have to know what it'll be. So what we are asking is that said total not to exceed $4,000 be added at the end of the Clause 5 after the figure $100,000. Clause 6 we have no problem with. Clause 7 seems rather odd. Habitat will be building a sidewalk, but in here it asks Habitat to pay for a paved bus stop pad in front of a corner of their property. The bus stop is not for the Habitat development. It's for the entire community. Habitat doesn't mind paying its share, but they would like to pay their share based on the same formula above, which is the benefiting properties of the area. You're not going to need, there's already a bus going down there. You're not going to need a bus because of 20 houses. They do have two parking stalls per house, just like most houses. So really, it just seems like, oh, was circulated to transit. Transit says, yeah, we need this there. Let's get this developer to pay for it. Well, a developer's Habitat for Humanity. It may only be about $10,000 or something, but this is people's donations, and this is the quality of house that's going to be built for working people. To have it affected by that seems silly. So our request is that you would add, where it says the developer shall at no expense to the city construct, we have the word construct out, and say pay its share of an 8.5 meter in length by 2.1 meter in width concrete cement pad. When I say 10,000, that is a total guess. I have no idea what these things cost, but it's not for them. They're willing to pay their share, as the whole neighborhood should, and its share of under the same cost-sharing arrangements as indicated in Clause 5 is what would be the request. The third and final change asked is that Clause 8 be deleted. This is over $57,000 for nothing. Habitat has no access, direct access, to Main Street. It has access to, it has no access to Fernbank. It has access to Riverstone only, out the back lane, which is where people park. From there, they can turn and go down to, anyway, they can go to Fernbank, or they can go down to Red River Boulevard, where they could turn out onto Main, or they can go to end up going down to McPhillips. Why they should pay, because they happen to have a side yard, which is no direct access, but they border on Main Street, why they should pay $57,000 to the city that already paved that road some 80 years ago, I have no idea. There are no curbs on Main. It hasn't been fully brought up to standards. It, like the northern edge of Henderson Highway, are hard-paved trails with ditches still. And why these people should pay for that, it seems very, very strange. They don't use it any more than anybody else in the entire neighborhood. They don't have direct access to it. So we don't see why they should pay over $57,000, a charitable organization like this, for money that the city isn't even spending, that it has already spent and spent decades ago. Here for any questions. Sandy would like to sum up.
Thank you, Mike. really want to spend a bit of time on the public consultation piece, because we, when we move into an area that we haven't built in before, we take a lot of time to get to know the neighborhood and talk to people there, let them know who we are, what we're about, and what we're thinking about doing. And so we did exactly that with this development. We, on June the 1st, in May, we talked to a number of community leaders, business leaders, community leaders, and at the school. And we also, and then on June the 1st, 18 of us went into the area and knocked on 450 doors over the course of one evening. Of those 450 doors, there were close to 300 people who were home, 150 were not home. We left at every one of those houses a flyer that's in the package that I gave you that describes the development and describes what Habitat is all about. And we explained to those who were home what we were thinking of doing and answered any questions they have about Habitat. And we, in addition to that, had the same flyer delivered to another 400 homes that were sort of bordering around the area, but beyond the group that we were visiting personally, knocking on their door. So in total, we had about 850 homes receive this flyer. One of the elements in the flyer is an invitation, was an invitation to an open house that we hosted in the basement of the Croatian Catholic Church, where we, on boards, had artist renderings of the proposed development and of the area and what the impacts that we saw on it. The perhaps the most important item that came out of our door knocking was that only 7% of the people that we spoke to were opposed to this development. Fully 40% of the people that we spoke to were in favor of the development, and the others had no expressed no opinion on it, or simply took the information that we provided to them and went back into their homes. So it was a frankly a pleasant surprise that we had as high a percentage of the neighborhood supporting this proposal as we received. And to sort of underscore that or emphasize the support in the area, we, at the open house, and again, there were almost 900 homes, families invited to join us, only 64 residents representing approximately 25 homes came out to that particular session. So that, and a possible interpretation of that is that at worst, there is a widespread neutrality in the area. There weren't very many people who thought it was worth their while to come out to the public hearing to tell us that they didn't like this particular proposal. Those that did, however, focused on a few issues, traffic, property values, and density and type of housing primarily. Frankly, we don't think any of these withstand scrutiny. Traffic, there are in total over 1,200 homes in the area, and the idea that adding 20 houses is somehow going to disrupt the traffic patterns is something that we think is a bit odd and illogical. Beyond that, we understand that the city is preparing to build an extra lane on Fernbank with a right-hand turn yield onto Main Street, and we would encourage the city to do that at its earliest convenience. Certainly part of the deal in purchasing the land is that we need to make land available along Fernbank for that additional lane, and we think that's a very good idea. In terms of property values, again, we're you know, a bit mystified by that one. Everywhere in the city that we have built, the property values have actually increased, and the worst case scenario that we would see here in our view and that of professional realtors is that these houses would increase in value at the same rate as the rest of the neighborhood. But we have built in other parts of the city, notably on Kildare, which has homes surrounding it that are similar in size and age and value to those in this area. And we built those homes in 2004 and 2005, and they have all increased in value by more than $100,000 during that period of time, and the other homes in the area have increased in value as well. We were told that this type of housing isn't appropriate for to be developed on that corner. And again, we found that odd, given that literally across the street from where we're proposing to build, there are side-by-side units that are much smaller than the ones that we're proposing to build. And Lastly, on the density issue, when we first brought this proposal to the city planners, they suggested that our idea was too low a density. In fact, that what was preferred for that corner would have been a multi-story condominium or a rental apartment. We were able to convince them that the side-by-side units were the best option for that corner. So we don't frankly understand the concern about density. This is what the couple of pictures of what the site looks like now. I find, you know, the no dumping sign adds a particular cachet to the corner, I thought. This is what we're proposing to build. These, as Mike said, are extremely well-built homes. They're all built to beyond the Manitoba Hydro Power Smart Gold level of energy efficiency. They have a number of LEED features in them. They feature water conservation in the houses and on the property. They're extremely well insulated, built a full home warranty on them, and they're aesthetically pleasing and will make a very nice change from the corner that's there. So, two things in conclusion. Many of the arguments against this development, we think, do not withstand close scrutiny, and we believe we're putting forward a very good proposal to turn an unsightly corner into attractive housing for hardworking families using a proven homeownership model. And lastly, regrettably, I have to end this presentation on a negative note. There are a small number of individuals opposed to Habitat building on this corner who have been, shall I say, questionable in their efforts to drum up support and keep us out of the area. Allow me to provide you with just three examples. First, I'll read an excerpt from an email that I received. This is just one of several distasteful remarks we heard from a few of the people opposing this project. It reads, "We know what will eventually go into those places, more crime, more drugs, drinking parties, and probably pimping too." Second, we contacted some of the people who had indicated support for the project when we canvassed the neighborhood. We were advised that information of some type had been circulated in the area, claiming that we had misrepresented our development plan. That is simply untrue. Third, one woman who had expressed support for the project told us last week that she decided that she could not come here today because, in her words, it had been made abundantly clear to her that anyone who publicly supports us will not be welcome in the area. She's a single mom and felt quite intimidated by the man who was at her door. We understand that a group has gathered a petition, but frankly, in my mind, if this kind of tactic was used to gather signatures, it calls into question the validity of the whole thing. In closing, I ask you to remember that only a small number of people expressed any concerns about this development during our public outreach. This is a good proposal. It would benefit the broader community, and for the sake of the broader community and the city, we urge you to approve our plan. Let's move forward with development on this small lot. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Mr. Hopkins, can you speak about the application process and recruiting new families?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
The application process that you follow to recruit these new families. What is the process?
Yes. We don't advertise for families. First of all, we've built 229 homes, and so that's a natural built-in referral network. And we're connected to many of the social service agencies in the community. We do garner a fair bit of publicity, and each time we get some publicity, we get a number of inquiries. Interestingly, at the open house at the Croatian Church, two of the families who came of the 25 that I spoke of were there to find out how they could apply for a home. The minimum criteria are that one adult in the family is working full-time and has done so for at least 2 years. Overall family income has to be at or below a certain level. Family has to be prepared to partner with us, meaning that they will complete sweat equity before they can purchase their house. Those families that meet that minimum set of standards, we then invite to a detailed intake session where we do a presentation of what Habitat is about, how the program works, what the full requirements are for family partnership, and what the responsibilities are for home ownership should they be selected to purchase a home. next step for the families is to complete a very detailed application that has a number of attachments required as part of its being submitted to us. And with that application, we interview the landlord and the employer for that family. If they have been less than 2 years at either of those places, then we can go back a level and speak to the previous landlord or employer and get a sense of what kind of employee they are and what kind of tenant they are. We get references, written references from people who know them in the community, and we look very, very carefully at their finances. We look at their credit rating. We get copies of their income tax returns, and we're doing two things. We want to avoid two difficult situations, and the first is we don't want to set the family up for failure. We don't want to sell a home to a family and find out that because we didn't do our due diligence properly that they've got a large debt over here that we didn't know about that makes them unable to pay their mortgage or care for the house, in which case they would lose it. We think it's much harder on the family to be moved from a difficult housing situation into a new home and then in 6 or 12 months be moved back again. The other side of that coin is we don't want to be scammed. We want to be sure that the family is who they say they are, that we don't, if someone claims to be making $35,000 a year, that in fact is their income and they're not earning significantly more and just looking for a free mortgage. And so when all of those tests have been passed, we then sign a partnership agreement with the family, a formal contract that has a number of aspects to it, one of which is sweat equity. A single parent must complete 350 hours of sweat equity and a two-parent family must complete 500 hours of sweat equity. And what sweat equity is in part is designed to help us do what we do and keep our costs down, and in part it's to have the family have an understanding of how their home is built. So we'll have them work with us in our office or in the ReStore. If they're so inclined, they come out and do fundraisers with us. But they must save at least 100 hours to work on their own home. And we want them to do that because we want them to work shoulder to shoulder with the volunteers and financial sponsors who have come together to help to build that home. We want them to have a sense of pride of ownership. We want them to have a sense of how that house is built because all of them currently live in rental properties and so therefore are not responsible for home maintenance, and that can be daunting. We also put all of our families through a 10-week program that has a number of aspects to it, including budgeting, although I should hasten to add that many of our families could teach us how to budget. They have learned how to stretch a dollar in ways that perhaps some of us haven't had to attempt to do. And when all of that is complete and the house is built, then they buy that house at market value as determined by an independent third party.
Thank you. What is the value of these units, each one?
Sorry, the value?
The value, the market value.
Of these houses?
Yes.
I'm going to guess that they'll be in the $250,000 range per side, given where pricing is now. The latest ones that we've had appraised on Naren are coming in at over $200,000. We just had an 800 and I believe 890 square foot home on a 25 foot lot on Perth come in with an appraised value of $235,000. And so I'm expecting that when we add the time from now until when these houses would be completed, which would be a year at the earliest, and the cost of the land in that area, that they would likely be in the $250,000 range per side.
Any further questions from the committee? Councillor Reedy?
I'm always concerned about accessibility of neighborhoods and how we build neighborhoods so that they're accessible for families who might move in. You don't know what families are moving into these homes yet, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Just for my own description, the surplus, the land that's being declared surplus, how big of a piece is that? Does that go back about at that corner from Fernbank? Does it go back on Main Street, south on Main Street, to about 106 feet or so? Or?
Yeah, it doesn't go all the way back to where the back lane is going to exist.
What were the dimensions of that?
Kim? We've got a map here.
It's approximately 73 meters by 30 meters.
Councillor, if I may go back to your point on accessibility, we build all of our homes with the main floor fully accessible. And if we have a situation where we have a family that requires more than that, then we design the home around the need of the family. And we have some recent examples of that in the Maples and at our Sir Sam Steele project on there.
Thank you.
Sure, and I do appreciate that. That's actually my question that I wanted to ask. This city, in its wisdom over the last couple or three decades, decided that sidewalks and stuff would get built as you developed along the way. And I noted that there's a request not to contribute to money that would be utilized to actually build a sidewalk out where one does not exist at this point. Now, you are building a nice little residential place here, and I would agree and concur with you that this is not going to drag down market values of homes in this area, but my concern just is that there will be people who will visit these homes. These homes will have different families in them over the years, and the city does need to build out a sidewalk on Main Street so that people have walking access to the businesses that they might go to south of Fernbank on Main Street. So I'm just a little concerned. I know the land, I think, is being declared surplus and being given for, I guess, of no value, or $1, I guess. Would that be correct? The 70 by 30 meter.
If I might be able to answer, Councillor, the land is almost equally owned by three parties, Silphit Industries, Qualico Developments, under the name NovaMed, a previous form of the company, and the City of Winnipeg. So one-third of the land is the city's. The developer, Habitat, would build a sidewalk at 100% of its own cost, the full length of the property on Fernbank.
And that's the question.
Yeah, and that, so there's no objection to that whatsoever. The point was building along Main Street, if you're putting 10 houses, in this case 20 units in, and there are 1,200 units benefiting, the developer in this case, which is a kind of a funny term for Habitat, but in this case they are the developer, would have no objection to paying their share. But to pay for a sidewalk along Main Street, the length, which they don't need or use more than anybody else in the area, would be onerous and would affect the price of the homes and affect the type of people who could move into them.
So my question, Mr. Shaughnessy, I'll ask the administration if the $57,000 is going to build a sidewalk all the way to where there isn't one, but would you not agree with me, though, that the way the city does it is whoever develops along a certain piece would contribute a certain amount of money to whatever the full cost would be to put in what is expected in the neighborhood, whether Main Street is part of that neighborhood?
I guess our point is that it's infill housing. The city wants to encourage infill housing, not penalize infill housing, having them pay more than everybody else in the neighborhood. If, on the other hand, it was an absolute condition of the City of Winnipeg that Habitat pay for the full sidewalk from the end of where they're building on Fernbank, south along Main Street, for 104 feet, or 104 plus the width of the lane, 120 feet, whatever the length of their property is, they would look at it and decide if they could go ahead or not, and they would probably still go ahead. But to think of paying all the way down to Red River Boulevard, which is half a mile, would be not only onerous, it would be ridiculous.
It comes a little bit further north of Red River. But anyway, the only reason, and just, we have this, we talk about complete communities, that we have a new plan in place, Mr. Shaughnessy. So I just asking these questions. I know it can be onerous on the cost of housing. What we're trying to do is present affordable housing options to hardworking people. I understand that. So I just want to make sure, though, that, because you know what, some of those people who might live in those homes later on will complain to the city and say, well, there's no sidewalk on Main Street. How would my kid who uses a wheelchair get along? Or, you know, those kind of questions.
So, exactly.
And just about the bus stop, I'm not sure. Where are they proposing the bus stop?
Along the sidewalk that Habitat would be building in front of their property on Fernbank. It would be a widening at one corner of the block. And they could possibly put a bus shelter on there sometime. Just saying they agree with paying their share. And the same thing about people wanting their things. I remember when I was the counselor for the area, the 1,000 homes there wanted lights at Fernbank. There was no developer. They're not the best lights in the world, that's for sure, but they are lights, they do work, and they were put in as a city at large expense. Yeah.
There is another bus stop on Main Street. Is that the one you're referring to, Councillor Eady?
Well, no. The only reason I was asking, I thought there was already a bus stop on Fernbank just before the
There's
bus
a bus stop, there. But it's not paved. It's not a paved area. It's not where the whole boulevard was paved so that you could eventually, if the city decided, put up a bus shelter.
Actually, with a right-hand turn lane, they'll have to change where the bus stop is anyway. Is that correct?
Yes. But to pave it to be ripped up is silly.
I'm just suggesting maybe that's a cost to the administration. Maybe that's a cost of putting in a right-hand turn lane. Sorry. Anyway, that's all the questions I have.
Any further questions? Mr. Hopkins, the sidewalk, if we did approve this project, the sidewalk on Main Street flanking your property, the cost would be approximately? Do you know?
$10,000, I would guess.
Yeah. High level estimate?
Yeah.
Any further questions? Is there anyone else in support of this application? Is it Jason Pinder? Would you like to come down and speak? State your name and address for the record, please.
Jason Pinder. My address is 73 Incliffe Place. Okay, I'd just like to start off, first of all, by saying that I am a Riverbend resident. And I've been a Riverbend resident for the past 5 years. I'm also a high school teacher, and I work at West Kildonan Collegiate. And when I learned about Habitat for Humanity coming to the Riverbend area, I was very, very excited. And the reason I was so excited was because for the past 5-6 years, I've been volunteering with Habitat for Humanity. I've been on the front lines building homes in many occasions side by side with some of those homeowners. And I can definitely tell you that anyone who's opposed to this project is unfortunately grossly misinformed by some of the fears that they have of a Habitat home. Sandy and Mike said that at many times, or at all times, the homes that they build are on par with what you can buy from, say, a Randall Homes or from a Qualico. And I will go a step further. I've been there, put nail to wood. I can definitely tell you that those homes exceed many of the homes that your average tract builder builds. And I know this because I've had a tract builder build my home. In addition to that, I would tell anybody to take a trip over to Nairn Avenue or to Adsum Drive, Kildare, Redonda, and look at those homes. Those homes are beautiful. They don't devalue anybody's community. They increase the value. And if we really want a truly multicultural society, a truly diverse society, we should want people of all walks of life to move into our neighborhoods. There's a lot of fear about, you know, we're going to have slum housing. Oh, there's going to be crack. That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous comment. You know, we teach, I don't know how many Riverbend residents we have here, but I can tell you that drugs are in West Kildonan regardless. Recipients of Habitat homes are not drug users. They're not pimps. They're not prostitutes. They don't sell crack. They're hardworking individuals like everybody else here. They work full-time jobs. And you know what? Mortgages aren't getting any lower. So there's going to be a point when even some of us in this room right now would not be able to afford a mortgage. Some of the people that have been in Riverbend for the past 20 years, I would challenge, I would really wonder if they were just buying a house for the first time today, would they qualify for a mortgage? Or would they be themselves applying for a Habitat home? I can tell you that right now. I know exactly how difficult it is to buy a home. I've purchased two homes in Riverbend. I know. And I have to say, even now, in 5-10 years from now, would I be able to afford a home? Don't know. All I really want to say is that Habitat for Humanity is one of the best, if not the best, run charities in the country, probably in North America in general. And they're an amazing organization. And if Habitat for Humanity was going to build in my backyard, I would let them. And I really mean that. And I very much look forward to having the opportunity of building these homes in West Kildonan. I've even brought some support. Other fellow West Kildonan students that live in the Riverbend area and other staff members that represent West Kildonan as well. We believe in Habitat for Humanity. And I really don't have anything else to say. I just wanted to make it very clear that there are Riverbend residents that are in full support, 100% with Habitat Humanity. And if it is approved and Habitat can build, we will definitely be there building alongside them. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call Monica Gupta. You're in support, Mrs. Gupta? Is there a Monica Gupta here?
Hi, my name is Monica Gupta, and I'm also a teacher at West Kildonan Collegiate. I'm here to support with the rest of the students and the staff members. I'm a new resident of West Kildonan and a new area, but I've seen the amount of support that we have with our staff and even with our principal and our students that go together and work as a community. To have families an opportunity to be given an opportunity to have a well-built house, and to give them that opportunity is a great thing for the community, and to give someone a chance to start and to give them an upper hand. Everyone has been in a situation where you need an upper hand, and if Habitat Humanity can actually give a chance for the school and have a helping hand for the community, I say why not give it a chance? This is an opportunity for people to grow, and we as Winnipeg, we're known as a helping city. And if we can put initiatives in our city, both with our helping staff and our community, it would be something that would be positive not only for our community, but for our school as well.
Okay. Thank you. And could you state your address, please?
We didn't hear 479 Linwood Drive West.
Thank you. Mr. Glenn Garlick, you're in support, sir. Would you like to come down and speak or show your support from there? Thank you. Jeremy Riot. You could state your name and address for the record, please.
Jeremy Riot, 23 Salmiller Drive. So I'm also a student at West Kildonan Collegiate. I have grown up in Riverbend and now live in River Grove, a very close by community. And being a student, I've realized at the age of 17, and I appreciate that Winnipeg is a city full of different cultures and different socioeconomic standings and people in different situations. And I believe that building these Habitat for Humanity homes is a great way of educating students my age and future students of our community that being multicultural and having that other element added to your school and your community is an essential part of growing up in Canada alone. Personally, I've built with Habitat for Humanity. I have firsthand experience building alongside these homeowners. I built on the Naren Avenue complex last year with a few of my staff and student members. And I see the benefit. Habitat for Humanity, these people are building communities, and some individuals, unfortunately, are trying to break the communities by saying, and you know, blatantly displaying propaganda, if I might go so far as to say, regarding how these homes will affect our community in a negative way, which I believe is totally socially backwards and almost a step back to what I'm learning in school right now and what teachers and adults are telling us. So instead of breaking communities, I'm here to build communities and to be accepting of hardworking people who deserve housing just as much as you and I, and have been unfortunately placed in a position where they're not able to afford housing right away. And I think Habitat for Humanity gives people that opportunity. As well, both of my parents are educators, one a principal, one a guidance counselor, and they both work in communities that have Habitat for Humanity homes in them. And I can vouch for them in saying that people that come out of these houses are not bad people. Some of the greatest students they've had and some of their best comrades come from Habitat for Humanity housing. So for somebody to say that it would lower the property value or for that there would be problems in the community as a result of these homes is disgusting to me. And I really think that it's something that needs to be reconsidered. So thank you.
Thank you. Amanda Shimko, you're in support. Would you like to come down or show your support from there? Thank you. Serene Connor, you're in support. Thank you. Bob Aldridge. Bob Aldridge, are you here? Yeah, you'd like to show your support from there? Thank you. Linda Peter, you're in support. Catherine Hart, show your support from there. Thank you. Is there anyone else in support of this project? Your name? Do we need the address?
Yes, we do.
If you could state your name and address for the record, please. Marika.
Marika Hackhart, 83
Thorn. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Your name and address, sir?
Ken McIntyre, 407 Bigger Road.
407?
107. Is there anyone else in support? Yes?
Kara Kuchina, 131 Woodside.
How do you spell the last name?
I-L-C-H-E-N-A.
Anyone else in support? Yes?
Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y?
L-L-E-Y.
L-L-E-Y?
Yes.
Robertson?
Robinson.
R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N?
Yes.
Anyone else in support? Okay. Is there any? Yes.
Sandra. How do you spell your last name?
D-A-N-I. One last time, anyone else in support? Thank you.
Yeah, there's a number in opposition. But before you go through these names, I just want to list the names and address of those of the state communications.
Okay. Moving on to those registered in opposition. In addition to the exhibits that were filed when the agenda was published, we've received exhibits from a Don Steep at 32 Signet Road, a Judy Odger, a Fred and Judy Odger at 8 Deepwood Cove, David and Cindy Brown at 91 William Whiteway Bay, Shirley Baczynski at 75 William Whiteway Bay, Edmund and Christina Kowalski at 252 Fernbank Avenue, Marcus Raouk at 332 Fernbank Avenue, David Trey Turek at
87 William White Way Bay, Carlo Infante at 72 Riverstone Road, and a Mr. and Mrs. Nordman at 3 John Reeves Place.
Support.
Those are in opposition, and they're exhibits that were filed after the agenda was published.
Okay. And those that are present in opposition, Brenda Mathamon, would you like to come down and speak? Please state your name and address for the record, please.
I was born and raised in Lauren Avenue, the North End. My parents lived up until 2004 at 422 Albert Avenue. I'm a North End girl. No problems with different ethnicities or working with people that are different or whatever. My issue is the quantity, the 20 of the houses that they want to build there. There is no parking on Fernbank. Absolutely none. They'd be parking two in the backyard. Now, the developer has said that they're going to be between $200,000 and $250,000 homes. People who can afford $200,000 to $250,000 homes have two cars. That's both spaces in their backyards, probably filled up with their cars. Where is anybody else going to park? There's Signet, I believe, that's just off of Fernbank, where there's almost no parking as it is. There's Riverstone, and we're on William White Way, which just backs onto Main Street. We have people parking on our bay from Riverstone. There is no parking. Where are these people going to park? There's absolutely nothing. Plus, okay, where am I going? And it's not really infill housing. We're not the North End. We're not central core of the city. We are outskirts. We're suburbs. We're not infill. So to have them say that it's infill housing is kind of a misnomer. It's not really applicable. I'm really surprised Mr. O'Shaughnessy is here to speak for this proposal because he helped vote it down the last time that we came in 2008. So that was a big surprise to us. And I'm sure that somewhere down the pipe that at $250,000 for the houses, that Habitat for Humanity is going to be making a cool $5 million from this. And somewhere along the line, because they are a charity, they will be getting tax breaks. So they won't be exactly paying as much as you think that they're going to be paying. So that's my story.
Brenda, if you could just come back. I believe there's a question. Councillor Eady.
Yes, thanks for coming to make your presentation. So you're familiar with the development along Main Street?
Exactly, yes.
Coming from mm-hmm. where the new high school is built and coming further
yes.
north?
Yes.
Would you also have a problem with a multiple unit condo or apartment block being built at that corner?
Of course. Unless they had adequate parking, which would be underground or whatever. It's not so much like regular, ordinary lot size housing there, which would mean probably 10 or so houses along there. Well, when I bought my house, which is at 79, backing right onto this lot, the city and NovaMet told us it was going to be a park. So it was a big surprise to me to see that it's sat empty for 23 years. So, yeah, it would be, unless they had some way that they could have adequate parking. The people in our area don't have enough parking.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
I think new homes in Riverbend, like mm-hmm. if you were to buy a new home from mm-hmm. the private sector, I think they're selling for about $350,000.
Why would someone actually have to have that? I didn't have, my first home wasn't brand new.
I'm just saying. You were talking about families that have two cars.
Right.
$250,000 is not necessarily, that kind of family is not family that's going to have three or four cars.
Oh, for sure. That's a lot of money. Like, it's a lot of money for a home.
But I'm
a factory worker. I've worked in a factory my whole life as a blue-collar worker, and my husband and I had to work opposite shifts so that we could afford our home.
Right, so there is a way.
Yeah,
I'm just asking, like, I think your argument is purely on parking, so I'm just trying to clarify.
No.
You're saying that there's going to be more than two cars per household there, but given the presentation of values of houses, I don't know that that would bear that it would be more than two cars.
A family that could only be able
to afford a $250,000 house versus the private sector homes that are being purchased in Riverbend, which are $350,000.
And why would someone need to buy a house in Riverbend? Like, my first house was not in Riverbend. There are other houses, and I bought the real estate, picked up the real estate news. There are other houses that are $175,000 to $200,000 homes in decent St. Patel neighborhoods and stuff. Why does it have to be in particular?
Thank you.
Next is Perry Polson. You're in opposition, sir. Would you like to come down? And those in opposition, you're free to come down and make a presentation. And if you feel your sentiments have already been shared, you can also show your opposition just from the stands. State your name and address, please, for the record.
Sure. It's Perry Polson. I live at 28 Maple Grove Road. I've lived at Maple Grove Road for 7 years. And in fact, I support Habitat and Humanity. I think the cause is good, and I think it's admirable that we give people an opportunity. I will say I'm surprised. I think there are houses, even within our neighborhood, that are less than $250,000. I think my house might be worth $250,000, and I'd be surprised if that's what. And I've invested well over $70,000 over the last 7 years I've been there, including adding a garage, roof, sunroom, and so on. These are things that we do to our homes, and we like our neighborhood. And I think we have a wonderful neighborhood. In fact, we have a great mix of the neighborhood with very small houses, side by sides. We also have some low-income housing at the end of the street. And my family has enjoyed living in this neighborhood, and I actually love this neighborhood. I actually have no problem with us doing something with that piece of land, but I will state that where that bus sits today is a challenge. In fact, I don't even think that sidewalk down Main Street is worthwhile, because it's going to be a sidewalk to nowhere, to be honest with you, if that's a proposal. But I can see one going along Ferdinand. But something's got to happen with the parking. The parking on Riverstone is in the morning a single lane road. I know they're double lane roads today, but you cannot go down there if there's opposing traffic. I will say on Ferdinand, going home every day, it's a single lane home. And people are angry. We already have a challenge of people racing down that street, and you gotta tuck off the side and hopefully find a gap so you can pull off the side of the road to let everybody pass. It is, I think it's an accident waiting to happen. There's enough room there to make another lane for parking if that's what we wish to do. I think the parking, the bus does stand there a good 10 to 15 minutes. You're trying to get to the light, you can't get to it because it's just situated in the wrong spot. I think that traffic zone and the improvements that have been described today have to be part of that parcel. I'm not saying that it's a Habitat and Humanity cost, but somewhere in there those infrastructure improvements need to be looked at. I even phoned about trees this year. They said we can't walk down sidewalks today. Why put another sidewalk in with the trees if we're not going to look after the trees? We got sidewalks that have 3-inch cracks in them that aren't being managed today, but yet we're saying we're going to put in more. So now we're putting in a number of new homes, and I think we already have current challenges in the network, in the neighborhood. I don't think 20 other families are going to make a big difference, although I think we're adding to a bigger problem that we should be looking at today. If it's approved, I think we should approve it based on the fact that the bus issue is going to be looked after, the right turn lane is going to be looked after, and we have to address that parking issue somehow. Thank you.
Thank you. Deb Hensel, you're in opposition.
Hi, my name is Debbie Hensel, and I live at 44 William Whiteway Bay. And I've been a resident there for 19 years, and I know how difficult it is to purchase a home. I purchased a home when I was 25 years old. I had a difficult time. I was single. I couldn't even qualify for a mortgage, okay? The bank would not even mortgage me. I sacrificed my life, worked two full-time jobs, didn't have a social life, but I did it to afford my house. I respect what Habitat for Humanity does. However, when they came to my home, I was all for it, but they didn't give the full picture of what the income level was that these people were making. It's going to be a tough road. And what happens when things start deteriorating? That's my problem, is when things start deteriorating, that's where the depreciation of our homes is going to happen. Their Habitat for Humanity is going to wipe their hands clean and say it's not our problem. But it's going to reflect on the community, and that's where the problem is going to start happening. It's not the type of people that are going to be moving in, but they're going to have a heck of a time, and they're going to realize that they can't make ends meet, and they're going to sell their homes 5 years down the road. You're going to have someone else moving in. They're not going to maintain their homes. That's where the depreciation is going to happen. And the homes that they're planning to build doesn't even harmonize with what's in the environment. If I were to move my house into Royal Wood, the residents there would backlash at me, saying, "What are you doing? Like, it doesn't, your home doesn't fit in our environment." So that's what I'm saying. Habitat's structures do not harmonize the environment, the area, and I think we really seriously have to look at this before anything is approved. And I'm in total disagreement with it. And once it starts deteriorating, that Firm Bank and Main Street is the gateway to our community. And so you get first impressions when you first come down Firm Bank and Main. And if things look deteriorated, you're going to think, well, what kind of community is this? So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Okay.
Deb, there's one question.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask a question. Somewhere I heard reference that either from the city or perspective, and I asked this question of the other woman. The typical kind of construction that's been happening is new development along Main Street.
Right.
All through Riverbend and River Grove.
Right.
And River Ridge, I think it's called. And, that's like multiple family units, like apartment blocks. Do you think that would fit into your neighborhood as well? Or?
You know what? If anything, I would like maybe six, like, small condos, okay? Something like that would probably be okay. Nothing towering that...
But that's not what they're building along Main Street, right?
No.
So would you
I would not like an apartment block. No, I wouldn't want an apartment block.
So what I'm asking you really is, would you see that this Habitat project is probably better than a project like that?
I would say yes, but at the same time, they need to fit the homes in agreement with what's in the environment. And I've actually seen the Habitat for Humanity homes. I've seen the ones on Regent, and I was not impressed by it. I think it's a great project to revitalize an area, but our area does not need revitalization. It's a young community, and I'm not against the type of people that would move in there. But like I say, I sacrificed my life. I worked two full-time jobs. I know what it is to struggle. Now, Habitat says that they'll guide these young families, but what is verbally said and what is reality is two different things. As you know, having a house is not a cheap adventure. It's very expensive. There's costs that they probably have not even outlined to these people. And when you put it down on paper, you'll realize how expensive it is to run a home. And that means maintaining a house, maintaining the look of it to...
Okay. I'm going to ask Habitat when they come back, but I'm pretty sure that Habitat is not your normal kind of developer. They're a developer that makes sure that whatever families are involved, that they know all the costs and what's associated with owning a home.
Well...
I just thought I'd let you know, because I don't know.
Well, they weren't really truthful with me when they came to my door, so that's what I'm saying. There's all these hidden costs. Now, you're probably going to get not just one or two people. You're probably going to get a family in there, which is fine, but there goes your costs are going to increase with a family. Pardon me?
Are you familiar with what apartment rentals are? Today for a family, a safe place for a family to live. Are you familiar with what that costs per month?
No, I'm not. But I am aware of apartment rentals, yes. But not for a family.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Hensel, I recall it was mentioned earlier that Habitat Humanity is celebrating an anniversary next year. Do you remember? Was it 24 years or 25?
That's what I heard, yes.
Yeah, long-standing reputation, I would say. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Jerry Kirko, please. You're in opposition. Sir, if you could state your name and address.
Jerry Corkle, 31 John Reeves Place. I've lived in the neighborhood about 8 years or so, and Habitat is a good thing. I've driven down Narron, I've gone down the back lane. They're not even finished yet, and already it looks pretty messy. Stuff all over the place. Not put away, garbage, toys, just left in the middle of the lane. There are garbage bins full to the top. Why did they pick this area that I'm in right now? There's some people up here in favor of Habitat that don't even live in the neighborhood. Somebody on Knowles Avenue on the other side of the highway or other side of the river. Royal Avenue, about a mile away, not in the area. I'm sure some of the students, he said they canvassed 400 houses. They canvassed 400 houses, but they're not in the exact immediate area. Where I live in Fernbank, it's right on the corner on Riverbend where I live. Not Riverbend, I should say Signet. This is what they're talking about, the bus stop. It's a zoo, like the fellow said there. There's property on Main Street, right across the street from the community club, right across the street from the school. It's a larger lot that already has the back lane, which they don't have to put in. It already has the boulevard, which they don't have to put in. It already has the sidewalk, which they don't have to put in. And the lot is a lot larger lot. So I think it would be a better spot for them, for the area. The homes are older, and you would fit in better with that house, that area. The houses on Narron are a bunch of funny-looking colors, which does not match our area, and I'm totally against it. That's
it. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, one more thing. Mr. Shaughnessy when he was on council here, and they went tried to get it at 208. They only wanted 17 units, and he was opposed against it. He was not in favor. Now they want 20, and he's in favor of it. So just it's not right.
Jason Ewan, would you like to come down, sir, or show your opposition from there?
Jason Ewan, and I'm at 236 Fernbank.
Okay.
And I guess our main concern was, again, in 2008, council had opposed all this because it wasn't fitting with this area, and we're at the same stand at this point in time. Second, for our concern for me is they had proposed to remove the sidewalk that goes from Fernbank, I guess, to William White Way Bay in order to fit that extra home out of the from 9 to 10 for this proposal. And I think that's a safety concern because many people use that sidewalk going through every day. And Fernbank is not a quiet street. And safety is a concern in that regard. So I don't know if there is any proposal to put a sidewalk anywhere near that area, but as far as I can see from the proposal, is they're planning to take it out. That's what I have to say.
Sidewalk on Fernbank?
On Riverstone from Fernbank. So it's one perpendicular to Main Street. Mm-hmm. So they have proposed to take that sidewalk out in order to put in that extra. Yeah.
Can the administration comment on that?
No. There's no intent to remove anything in Riverstone Avenue. They're just acquiring surplus property. The roadway bends, and there's a surplus strip of land only. The sidewalk, boulevard, fire hydrant, street lighting, everything that's there will remain there as it is.
Okay, because that wasn't clear in the proposal. It looked like they were planning to remove that sidewalk.
Okay. Thank you. Neil Pelleris, you're in opposition? Thank you. You're at 227 Glen Caron. Correct. You'd like to come down? Valerie Sloboda, you're in opposition. Would you like to come down? Or? Okay, he is coming down. Sorry.
Hello, I'm Neil Pellers, 227 Glen Caron Road. I've lived there for about 12 years now. I'm not in favor of this project, but I am in favor with Habitat for Humanity. I think it's a good thing that they do. I think that this is just the wrong location that they're picking. Basically, the way we see it, living on Glen Caron, there's two entrances to our community there, and that's Fernbank and Red River Boulevard. Now, nobody that I talk to on my street and is in agreement with having Habitat for Humanity right there, as in a welcome to Riverbend sign. It's not consistent with the type of homes that we have there currently. I don't think that buttering up the situation with a yield for the traffic to come onto Main Street to make things safer really has anything to do with the housing project. That should be something to do with the traffic division determining whether we need a yield there to do anything better with the street. And my other point is I just found out about this. And I've been there for 12 years. I've got this letter that was in my mailbox on Sunday. And kind of beside myself here that I'm that misinformed. Now, if I'm that misinformed and I see a lot of empty seats in here, then everybody else in the community there is misinformed as well, because I know the people there, they would get a lot more involved in this if they knew what was going on. Like I said, I'm not against Habitat for Humanity, I'm not prejudiced against different types of people. I grew up in the Maples, and sometimes I was the only white kid at my birthday party. But that's, you know, that is that. So I think that before any decision is made on this, it should be brought again to the people. Instead of, if you're going to canvass 400 homes, you might as well talk to all the people in the community so that everybody feels right about this. Because if you go ahead and, with a plan like this and things do deteriorate down the road, how are you going to erase it? You're going to have a whole, you're going to have an upset community there about this situation that was created. I don't think, I think this needs to be thought through a little bit further. And I think that the people on the in my neighborhood should be a little bit more informed than what they are. I'm sure you guys have your process of how the public is informed, but like I said, I wasn't, and the people up and down the street from me weren't. I don't see them here today, but it was also scheduled for 5 o'clock on a Tuesday after a long weekend when traffic is heavy. People get off work at 4 o'clock. They got to make sure their kids get home from school. How can they make it here to represent themselves in this?
Thank you for your time. Valerie Sloboda.
Valerie Sloboda, 71, William Whiteway Bay. So first of all, I'd like to provide 100% clarity on the context of my opposition. I am, as was the case in 2008, we are not opposed to who is developing the property. We are opposed to what is being developed on the property. So the suggestion that there's some discrimination against Habitat for Humanity, I think there was three specific examples cited, although I certainly would agree that it's uncalled for and inappropriate. It is a significant small percentage of the opponents here, which I think if I counted right, were probably upwards of about 40, which is double what Habitat had indicated. There were 17 families opposed. My feedback is separated into two major categories. The first being the facts surrounding the original proposal, which was submitted and rejected back in 2008 by Councillors O'Shaughnessy and Pactigan and Lazarenko. And the second is the impacts on the surrounding environment. First, with respect to the facts, in July of 2008, the application was rejected based on three documented primary issues. The first one was the proposed lot area of 5,345 square feet instead of 7,948 square feet, which, when I'm reading the bylaws, I don't know where the 7,948 came from as a requirement. I see it's 5,000 at this point, but it is in the minutes and the documentation from 2008. The second issue was the proposed back lane exiting onto Main Street, which was a dangerous situation. And the third item surrounding the rejected proposal was a multiple family development was not in keeping with the surrounding area. And that's quote unquote from the minutes of the meeting from July 2008. With respect to item number one, the current proposal is calling for lot sizes of approximately 4,275 square feet, which is an additional 20% reduction from what was proposed in 2008. Further, single-family homes on Fernbank have lot sizes of approximately 4,300 square feet, again, for a single-family home, and the proposed per-dwelling unit area of approximately 3,200 to 3,700 square feet is 20 to 25% smaller than those single-family homes that are in Fernbank. Secondly, with respect to the side-by-sides that have been pointed to on Fernbank, there is a total of 7 units. They are on much larger yachts, lots, and they have much larger side yards. The proposal is calling for 4-foot side yards. Item number two, which was the exit onto Main Street of the back lane, certainly this is not within the proposed amendments and is not a consideration here. On item number three, which was the multiple family development not in keeping with the surrounding area, with all due respect to Habitat for Humanity, I would refer to what's being proposed as rural housing. You've got houses that are jammed together, again, with 4-foot side yards, reach out your door, touch your neighbor. And if it wasn't, you know, back in 2008, nothing has changed in the neighborhood since then. There's been no major redevelopment in the immediately surrounding vicinity of where these houses are being proposed. So my question would be, if it wasn't in keeping with the surrounding area in 2008, I'm not quite certain what is making it appropriate today. The second area I'd like to provide feedback on is the direct impacts to the immediately surrounding areas. The assertion by Habitat for Humanity that the proposed housing could increase the value of the surrounding properties is not valid. The 2008 City of Winnipeg currently assessed value of the immediately surrounding properties are well over $200,000 with a high of $297,000. I'm not quite certain how a 700 square foot or 800 square foot side by side is going to increase my property value. And although I agree with Habitat's assertion that the increase in the property value would be proportionate, so if surrounding property areas are increasing 3% year over year, I would expect, and I think it's correct, that the Habitat homes would increase at the same rate. The property was zoned as single family, although I think there was some differences between the three parcels of land. It was zoned 23 years ago as single-family dwellings, and we have no issue with single-family dwellings being put on the site. Further, although the land west of the proposed site on Fernbank is zoned multifamily, as was indicated on some of the documentation that was submitted, there are no multifamily units on that land. It's all single-family dwellings on Fernbank. And again, there's only 7 side-by-side units on Riverstone. It seems to be suggested that there's a significant number of side-by-sides in the immediate vicinity. I think that was an ongoing theme is parking and traffic. It's already troublesome in the surrounding streets, primarily because of the impact of our front drives. There isn't a lot of street parking. While it's completely acceptable to us, we live in the neighborhood, it goes with having front driveways. While there's going to be 20 more families in the immediate area, I'm not quite certain where their guests are going to park. And it's not clear what, if any, proposed parking is part of the plan on Fernbank. At this moment, there's no parking available on Fernbank. Now, we specifically purchased our home on the street without back lanes. It was one of the reasons we picked the site for our home, because there wasn't going to be back lanes. The land was zoned to be single-family dwellings, and we investigated it at the time. Unlike, I think, one of my neighbors, we weren't told it was going to be a park. We did know that it was going to be single-family dwellings. I might also add that the Riverbend homes are built well above the minimum bylaws in terms of side yards, lot sizes, and what's being proposed are below the minimum specifications from the bylaw. Hence the need for the rezoning requirement. And so in keeping with that, they don't even meet the minimums. In summary, the proposed rezoning application calls for small lots, extremely small lots of high density. It is not acceptable, and in keeping with the surrounding neighborhood, should Habitat for Humanity elect to amend their application to single-family dwellings that are more suited to the area, we would be happy to welcome the families into our neighborhood. Questions?
Thank you.
I did have a question, though, on an item that had come up earlier with respect to Schedule B, Item 8. It was a request by Habitat to remove the item in its entirety, but it's not clear what that impact is.
Along Main Street.
Yeah. There was some indication that there was a request for Habitat to build sidewalks all along Main Street to River.
Ms. Sloboda, you can ask the question through myself, the chair, and when they come back for their rebut, they will answer it. Yeah, so your question, if you want to restate it?
Question is, it's not clear to me on the request for Habitat to remove item 8 within Schedule B, what that really means. Or if I misunderstood what the request was.
So the applicant turns down the Main Street Committee. Yep. Questions on the rebut. Right. So they will address that when they come back to rebut. It's number 8 that you're wondering what they were asking for.
Yes.
They will clarify that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Andy Chartrand, are you here? Yeah. You show your opposition from there. Thank you. Shelley Randabakic, show your opposition from there. You're at 8 River West Drive. I'm sorry, Andy, you were at 12 River West Drive. Dave Tretchek, 87 William White Way, in opposition. Elisabetta and Chris, okay, you're in opposition, 39 River West. Derek Winterpa, 3 River West.
Name is Eric Deputy, number 3 River West Road. I've been living in the neighborhood for 17 years. Okay, I have no problems with anything built on the lot as long as it is a single family dwelling. There's no need or purpose to put multifamily dwellings on such a small lot. What do you think is going to happen to the parking? How is the garbage truck going to get into the back lane and back out without killing somebody? Is there any inquiry? What else can we think about? Fire hazard, you got a back lane with single entrance. There's no parking any place. With construction site, where are guys going to park? On my street? Block my driveway? And what am I going to do? Phone the cops to get their vehicles towed? I mean, I know it is a problem, but how are you going to put 20 families in such a small space? You know, I don't understand that. This was voted down once already. Why is it coming up again? Like, don't you have any good records? What changed? Seriously, what changed? Can you guys give me an answer on that, please? What changed in the last couple of years that all of a sudden you guys are opening this proposal again? I don't understand.
I wasn't here at that time, sir, but that was a different proposal. It's a different situation. We will ask the administration to respond later.
But my opinion is, no problem as long as it's single families. I don't want 20 families moving into the neighborhood. Okay? My house is 900 square feet. It's not a big house. I support myself plus my whole family. Who's going to guarantee me that all of a sudden my house is not going to drop down in value? I got a wife and 2 kids I have to support. Okay? I'm a hardworking man. Who's going to guarantee me all this stuff? Okay? That's my opinion on this. I don't have no problem as long as the people work there, but the concentration of people in such a small place, it's going to create a whole bunch of problems for everybody else. Right now, my side street is Fernbank. I have to go and pick up the garbage because the city doesn't come down and pick up the garbage. They cut the grass once this year. I have to cut the boulevard. Now, you think about it. You're going to have 20 people. You're going to have kids running on a boulevard. Where's that garbage going to go? It's going to go against my fence. You guys still come down and pick it up. I have to pick it up. Like, you think those people will come out? Oh, they throw a garbage as it goes out. So how is that going to improve my community? How is that going to improve my house? How is it going to improve anything else in there? I don't understand that. Can somebody give me an answer now, please?
Okay. Councillor Eady, you have a comment?
I'll have a question for you. You're asking me a question, but are you familiar with the new solid garbage waste plant?
Yes.
The city's moving?
And it is a pain in the butt. Excuse the language.
Can I also ask a question? What my question really is, when the homes are built, where the like where you're picking up garbage or your garbage is not being picked up, is that a unserviced lot now?
No, my side street also is on Fernbank. I'm a corner lot.
Where, so, what's your address again?
Number 3, River West.
Oh, you're River West, okay.
All right. So all the garbage that lies on the street gets trapped against my fence that I have to go and pick up.
It blows onto your yard.
Exactly.
Right. With new homes in there, do you think that that garbage problem is going to exist?
I definitely do. I definitely do.
Well, where's the garbage coming from right now?
From a neighborhood. Everybody just... It's just going to get worse.
So you're saying there's already people just throwing garbage?
Yes.
In this neighborhood that you're talking about?
Exactly.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Alexandra Ewan, you're in opposition. Would you like to... Are you here, Alexandra? Like to show your opposition? Yeah. Kyle Lischka, Ivana Lischka, and Maya Lischka. Would any of you? Okay, in opposition. Is there anyone else here in opposition? Is there anyone else here for just for information? We're going to take a 10-minute recess now. We'll reconvene at 7:15.